This morning I want to speak on the subject of mixed emotions. Come on, mixed emotions. I was curious about this story because it was a very telling story about how we are as people. Because Joseph had been through a lot. He had to deal with being thrown into a pit and given up for dead. And but for God, that would have happened. But one of the brothers stepped up and said, you know what? We can't let him die like this. So they said, well, let's sell him. And they sold him into slavery. This is Joseph's story. All because he had a dream or he was a visionary. And God gave him things in his life that was supernatural, that some could hold and receive and appreciate, but some could not, like his brothers. And sometimes his parents. Because they wanted to know, shall we too bow before you? Say it ain't so. It was a dilemma sometimes when we deal with our emotions and how things go down. And Joseph, that wasn't even the end of his story. We know the story so well that Joseph was given up for dead, sold into slavery by his brothers. And that the ones who loved him, the ones who should be caring for him, the ones who said, we with you, we family, and yet you don't like me. You don't like me so much to the point where you're going to kill me. And he's living with this and knowing that people around him, the people that he loved and the people that should love him, don't even like him. Come on, he's living with this. And he finds himself on the backside of doing something what he calls right, always reporting back to daddy, so they couldn't stand him. And here they find themselves dealing with this man years later. They thought they sold him into slavery. They thought for sure he, because of his makeup, he wouldn't make it. He was a house boy, not a field boy. But here Joseph, he is alive. He's okay. And they had no clue. They try to put it in the back of their minds. See, but Joseph every day is living this out. I'm here because you sold me. And when he's giving this testimony to them, he make it known to them, because you sold me out. Because you gave me up for dead. Because you put me in this pit. And then I found myself in Potiphar's house, didn't want to be there. This gift made room for him, and he became Potiphar's right-hand man. But he had a wife that had a lust problem. And she ran him out of the house because Joseph said, I can't do this wicked thing and sin against God. Come on, it's a challenge, church. And Joseph living with this, he said, I'm dealing with this, and I'm going through this. And because she lied on me, now he finds himself, not only he was in the pit, but he found himself in a Potiphar's house. He didn't want to be there. And now I'm in jail. And God knows I didn't want to be in jail. So all of this happened because they sold him out. And sometimes we in life, and many of us, we live with mixed emotions. Because Joseph said, y'all get out of here. Because what's going on inside of me is overwhelming. I don't know if I can contain myself. And the scripture says he cried openly and bitterly because of what they had done to him. Come on, so many times people have sleepless nights and got to get up the next day and put on a different face and deal with mixed emotions. Come on, God, what am I going through? And what am I dealing with? And Joseph's going through all these dilemmas and all the challenges and sequences of life. And as he found himself with the accused who sold him in slavery, who did these things to him, and yet God has still called him to forgive them. To forgive them. How do you forgive somebody who should love me and hate me? How do you forgive somebody who took my life from being up here and turned it all the way around? And now you're asking me to forgive you? I got mixed emotions. I don't know if I can be happy about that. I don't know if this sit well with me. You know how we say it. I don't know if that sit well with me. I got mixed emotions. In my mind, I'm thinking one thing, but in my heart, it's raging, and it's a lot of anger. It's a lot of frustration because of what has happened to me, and I got mixed emotions. And many times we sit and we go through life, and it's all going on in our hearts, what's been done and what's happening in our life, and we might want to be happy one minute, but now I think about that, I get mixed emotions. I'm not settled. I'm unsettled. I try to work it through. I try to make it through, but things don't settle right. Come on, God challenges us today in our text, our scripture today, to make sure that we are managing our mixed emotions. Come on, he's called us in to be the light of the world. He's called us to be the salt of the earth. He's called us to make a difference. But there's just sometimes in our life, our emotions get the best of us. Amen. Got two amens. Somebody else saying, I'm trying, Pastor. I'm trying. See, God shows us a great example here of forgiveness. See, in our text this morning, if you've ever been betrayed, used, or abused, if you ever been hurt by others in your life, then I'm definitely talking to you this morning, without a shadow of a doubt. See, it's challenging enough to say you forgive someone. But the most difficult part is living it out. I can tell you, Joseph never thought this day would even happen either. And you know his brothers just knew we'd never see him again. But what happens when you're encountering somebody or you're living with somebody every day and they hurt you or they do something wrong in your life and you're called to forgive them so you can be forgiven, and yet you got mixed emotions? Come on, we walk around like it's okay. We walk around like, oh, we're going to make it through. We walk around like things are all right. But inside, it's something raging. In my heart is something turning over and over again, saying, God, how can I make it through this after what they did to me? Come on, we got to bind that temptation of the enemy to be and be tossing to and fro, amen? Because of our emotions, because of how we feel about a thing. Come on, God wants to deal with us. It's easy to say, I forgive you, or I'm sorry, or you'll get over it. But how do we deal with the fact that I still got to live this thing out? I still got to keep going the next day and the next day and the next day, but I'm still carrying this load. Come on, I wanted to bring a trash can with a pair of handcuffs and a chain attached to it. Because sometimes that's how we live our life. We attach to a trash can with real live garbage in it, amen? Dirty diapers and orange peels and all kind of stuff. You know what we put in the garbage. But yet we chained to it. And every day we walking around, but it's in there. And every now and then when we stumble or when things ain't right, we can smell it coming up from underneath there. But yet it's still chained to me. It's still a part of me. It's still walking with me as I walk with you, amen? And we deal with it every day. And we go through certain things every day. And the key is, how do I get loose from this chain of unforgiveness in my life? Amen? Come on, that I am able to live on and live it out. See, whether you have a good memory or you're trying to block things out of your mind or of how you've been handled, or even if you're the strongest believer and you know if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. But still, you wake up in the morning and you still have to deal with it. You still have to go through and deal with the emotions that you have or the feelings that you have of what's going on in your life. Come on, some people try to avoid it altogether when they know their emotions are fragile. Come on, we've been handled a different way. And some people hold on to it. And some people will chop your head off because of what they're dealing with. You ain't had nothing to do with it. But they'll chop your head off and you wonder, what's wrong with you? It's because they're dealing with mixed emotions. You might not be the one, but something I'm going through that's got me on edge. It's got me frustrated with life. It's got me frustrated with the things around me. You know, and some people, they choose to avoid it altogether. They don't want to deal with people. They don't want to deal with things. I'm better off by myself because when I deal with people, it brings out different emotions in me. Brings out different thoughts in me. And God has called us to deal with it. Come on, church, because of the anxiety of our emotions are so extreme, some people even isolate themselves from the reality of life because they do not want to deal with these mixed emotions. Come on, they take up a demeanor that keeps them from others. And we wonder, Wayne, what you mad at? Or what you going through? It's because on the inside, they can't see it, but it's affecting what's going on in the outside. Well, you never smile. Well, where's your smile? You don't laugh. Come on, I know you're in church, but laugh a little bit. Laugh a little bit. You're too serious. And you ain't that serious. Help yourself. Laugh a little bit. Come on, the Bible says laughter is good like a medicine. Laugh a little bit. Come on, enjoy where you are because it could be another way. But because you are here, you have to deal with certain elements of life. But it's all right to laugh a little bit. Amen? Come on, we are fragile in so many ways when it comes to our emotional state. We good when we are good. But when we are not, it affects everything around us. It affects everything. People at work getting it. People at home getting it. People you encounter and they the wrong way, they getting it. It's because emotions are very fragile. Come on, one minute I am up, I am glad, I am happy, and then the next minute I see you. Oh, my God. What do I do about that? Come on, we've got to contain the very fact that we have fragile emotions, amen? For example, when you've gone to a store and they have all these fine items out and fragile items, and you hear and you know if you bump anything wrong and you're going to break it. You break it, you. I see some of y'all done that before, amen? Come on. The kind of store that when we frown if we got a little child with us and they're in the store. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't get that. We all beside ourselves because we don't want them to what? All right, come on. Y'all get there with me. Come on. We don't want them to break anything. And sometimes we're the same way with our feelings in our life. I don't want you to break anything. I don't want you to hurt me in that way. Come on, the kind of store that a sign on the door thinking you are enjoying your food and drink before entering, and all this kind of stuff that happens in the store like that. And then if you break it, you buy it. Come on, that's the sign that's on the door. You break it, you what? All right. Y'all, a few of y'all have did that. Amen? Come on, the reality is we should have a sign just like that store. But we don't. The sign should read something like, I'm fragile. But we don't. Come on, I'm delicate. But we don't. I'm sensitive. But we don't. Come on, usually when we find out, it's too late. I didn't know you was like that. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have done that. But sometimes people are what? Fragile. And they are sensitive, delicate with their emotions. Come on. And some people are too proud or become stubborn because they don't ever want to get what? Wounded or hurt in their lives. Amen. Come on. I'm hurt if you break part of me. And you're going to pay for it. That's what it is. You hurt me, so you're going to pay for it. And if you don't, somebody else around you will. Amen? Well, that's how we deal with it, because many times as believers, we don't know how to deal like Joseph dealt with true forgiveness and walking free in God. Amen. So that we can remain who God says who we are and do what God says we can do. Come on, there should be no elements of our life that we can be walking around saying, if you break me, you're going to pay for it. Come on, the sign of the world says, if you break it, you pay for it. Come on, what does the sign of God's store say? I'm glad you asked. Amen. Come on, Susan Williams, a well-known author, tells a story like this. She tiptoed through a gift shop filled with hundreds of extremely fragile items displayed on glass shelves. She paused and admired everything around her. And one-of-a-kind sculpture of an English village was there that she really loved. She strained to see it as much detail as possible without actually touching it and see the piece that she admired so long. But then suddenly a female voice came up behind her. Listen to this. Please pick me up if you like. But it's fragile. It's delicate. And the voice says, don't worry. Don't worry. You can rely on our store policy. And she pointed to the sign of the store sitting over in the case. If you break it, please tell us so we can forgive you. Please tell us so we can forgive you. Come on. She laughed. Because she had never heard nothing like that, like many of us, and like I did the first time I heard it. She laughed, like, who does that? If you break it, you pay for it. We've been conditioned like that. We've been trained in life from a little child. So if you break something, you pay for it. Something's going to happen because you broke it. And then now see somebody or hear somebody and see a sign that says, if you break it, just tell us so that we can forgive you. Come on, unheard of. We don't ever hear it like that. Come on, she laughed. She said, now that's what I call a novel business idea in this world. Come on, the woman nodded since we put up the sign. Breakers has not really changed. Still people breaking. But it's wonderful to see how much more comfortable everybody feels in asking for forgiveness. Come on, it makes a difference in our attitude. It makes a difference in how we approach life that we can deal with this. So the lady was so impressed, she copied the sign and took it home and put it everywhere. If you break it, please tell me so I can forgive you. Come on, church. Please tell me so I can forgive you. Come on, I guess it's human nature. There's something about knowing you'll be forgiven for a mistake that frees you to relax and enjoy the rest of your life. Come on, that is the story of forgiveness and the love of God. Come on, God has put a huge sign on it. It is Jesus' blood on the cross. And that sign that says unmistakably, if you break it, please tell us so that we can forgive you. Come on, got one amen. Stay with me, everybody. Amen. Come on, that is why when Jesus teaches us how to pray, he includes this phrase in his prayer, Matthew 6. Asking forgiveness for our sins, as well as extending forgiveness to others. Come on, some translations may say, forgive us our debts as we forgive those, forgive our, all right, I guess y'all got it. Come on, that's why he added that to our prayers, because in all of our getting and understanding, you have to understand how to be free. How to be what God has called you to be. And to do that, you got to forgive those of them trespasses so that God can forgive you of your trespasses. Come on. It's extending forgiveness to others. Come on. When we've broken God's commandments, when we've shattered a relationship, come on, when delicate feelings are damaged, when peace has cracked its divisive nature into our lives, how do we respond? And what do we do? Are we forgiving others, or are we still holding grudges? Come on, when unity is split and discord happens amongst us and in our lives, are we unified in this, or do we still have grudges? Come on, we got to examine ourselves in our lives and understand the nature of God is the nature God wants us to take on. Amen. Come on, so that we might, First Peter said, so that we might be partakers of his divine nature. That you ain't got to be you. I know you're comfortable in your own skin, and I know you like it the way you are, but what about when God says that you want to be like him, you got to be made whole. Come on, not fragile, not busted up, not mixed emotions and all over the place, because now you're living as God has called you to live. Come on, we got to make sure that we defeat the enemy in his place and where he is. Come on, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 reminds us that every human being has a continual need for God's forgiveness. Hear what it says. It says that if we say that we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. What you talking about? You tricking yourself. He said, and the truth is not in us. The truth ain't in you. But look what he said. But if you, conditional, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, who will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Come on, church, we can get this. We can get this. See, when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins. Amen. Come on, when Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, there's only one request that is conditional. We are forgiven as we forgive. Can't even say it. We're forgiven as we forgive. Few of y'all picked it up. We're only forgiven as we forgive others. Come on, how can we be free if we don't free people? It is conditional. It is the only conditional phrase in the whole Lord's Prayer. Nothing else is conditional. But this is conditional. If you forgive those who trespass against you, your trespasses will be forgiven. Come on, that's what God does. It is simply the very nature of the Creator, of who God is in our lives. I know it's not an easy thing, because we live in our humanity, and we live with feelings, and we live with offenses. And God knows we deal with all of that. We deal with all of that. But God's very nature is that we should be for giving. Come on, got no amens on that one. Got no. Come on, God gives us here. He gives us where we find ourselves in emptiness of not being able to get free because of unforgiveness. Come on, not seeing that we have offended God. We don't see that we've hurt God. But when we are hurt, we will put it on blast. You done hurt me. You done jacked me up. You done turned me over. You done set me some kind of way. Come on. It approaches us different. See, when we are easily offended and have sinned or hurt or offended somebody else, we see that. But what about when we sin or easily offend God? Come on. We feel no need to seek God's forgiveness. We just keep on going. Then did something that hurt God to the heart. Come on, that grieves him. It hurts him. Scripture says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve in the Holy Spirit. And here we find ourselves doing it all the time and never going back to God saying, God, will you forgive me? We readily say this, forgive me of my sins, because that's just a mark of your selfishness. Because you're just trying to be right. But when you going to ever go to God and say, well, God, will you forgive me for offending you so I can just be right with you? Come on, we always want God to be right with us, but are we going to be right with him? Come on, just forgive me for how I hurt you and misused you and confused you. I know you said you thought I was one of yours, but you saw me the other day. I wasn't really acting like you. When we ever going to go to God, we always worried about ourselves. Forgive me, God. Help me. Set me free. Deliver me. Come on. That's my favorite song, by the way, right now. Deliver me. Amen. Come on. But the reality is we have to have more of a heart or affinity to ask God, will he forgive us for him? Misusing him. Abusing him. And mistreating him. Well, it's good when we have a figure or a person or object to say, you know what, I'm dealing with that. But what about when we're dealing with God? What about when we're dealing with God? Well, we got to ask that. Well, in our scripture today, Joseph certainly had reason to be very upset with his brothers. He did. Come on, somebody might just talk harsh to you and you might cut them off for life. Who was that? I don't even know them. That's just because they said something to you. Come on, some people have been mistreated or lied on or betrayed and they walked away from you. And guess what? You don't deal with them anymore like that. Joseph had every right. Come on, and nobody would discuss it or argue with them. They did what to you? And they did what? And you in jail? And you sleeping with the rest? And you eating what? And you where? Because they did what? I'm just talking about y'all conversation. Y'all conversation. We have a conversation about that. I want to know what's going on, because if they did that to you, I don't know if you should be dealing with them anymore. I don't know if you should be messing with them. I think you should cut them off. Why are you even bothering with them? Come on, let's understand it. He had every right to be upset. He had every right to be bitter. He had every right to have remorse and unforgiveness in his heart, because he was somewhere he thought he never should have been. Come on, how many times in life we're somewhere we think, I shouldn't even be here. I shouldn't even be dealing with this and going through this right now. How do I forgive them? How are we going to move past this? How are we going to get over this? Come on, that's something, that's an unknown question for how are we going to get through this? How are we going to deal with this? Sometimes that's an unknown question, and we're trying to figure it out. And trust me, Joseph, when he met his brothers and that day came that he thought would never come, he had some mixed emotions. Come on, you can see it if you read a little further up in chapter 44. When he found out it was them before they found out it was him. look at him. He found out it was them before they knew it was him. And what did he do? He set them up. His thoughts wasn't on the right path at first. If you really read the text, he had some get back on his mind. Some retaliation. I know what you did to me. I'm about to do something to y'all. Come on. But he had mixed emotions, because on one end, he was blessing them. Oh, yeah, come on there. Come to the front of the line. Yeah, come to the front of the line. Load them up. Give them all they can handle. I know them, but they don't remember me, but I remember them. And then something in him said, you know what? these jokers, I'm going to get them. Loaded them down, gave them all. But they said, the youngest brother, he put a silver cup in there. He put the silver cup in his bag that he didn't ask for, that he didn't take. But he let them go. And then he said all his soldiers after them, he said, track them down. They stole something. Something he done planted. Amen. He done planted it. Yeah. Come on, that was a sign right there that he wanted to forgive them. Yeah. He wanted to love on them. He wanted things to be just like they were. But something in me. Yeah. I don't know if I can let them go. He puts the silver cup in the bag. Yeah. Sends his men to get them. Unloads everybody's bag. And sure enough, here's the silver cup. You thief! You thief! He's blaming them. You stole the cup. They ain't steal nothing. But in Joseph's mind, I'm going to get one of y'all. I'm going to get my brother free at least. I'm going to get my brother free. The one that did not do this to me. Y'all did this to me, but not him. Come on, he was wise and cunning and tricky with all of this. Brings them all back, and they say, well, I'm just going to take them as a slave. And look what he tells the other brothers, y'all go ahead. But I want this one with me. Come on, so he brings them on in. And the brother said, no, if we go back without him, my father going to die. That's the only thing that changed Joseph. I don't want my father to die. His blood on my hands. Come on. But what was the sign? I'm just saying this whole point. The sign was he was dealing with mixed emotions. He wanted to forgive them. He still had something in him that had love for him. But on the other end, he still had all these other things going on. Remember what he did to me. Remember how they mistreated me. Remember how they wanted to give me up for dead and feed me to the wild animals in the wild. He remembered all of that. So at the same time, I want to forgive them. I want to love them right. But at the same time, you know what they did to me. It was a quandary. It was a battle of the flesh. Because he wanted to do what was godly. But his flesh was saying, man, they deserve something. It was something. It was a dilemma for them. And church, sometimes we have to challenge ourselves because it becomes a dilemma for us. And we don't forgive right. And when we don't forgive right, we won't live right. Because although I might be free on the outside, there's a part of me, there's a room in my house that really ain't free. Amen? Don't go into that room. Don't go into that place. That's closed, off limits. Amen? Come on, put the yellow tape. Something died in me right here. Right here. Come on, we got to challenge ourselves. Come on, Joseph had every right to be upset with his brothers based on what he did. And this happened for years. And he now has matured and become a man and seen how God has worked through him. And giving him a different perspective. Come on, when he was betrayed by the baker and the cook, he was all of those things. He still endured it and went through all the motions and seeing how God worked through what happened to him. Come on, and if we ever look back and look through our lives and see how God is working through us, come on, look how he's kept us. Come on, through danger seen and unseen. Come on, some things that could have happened to us didn't happen to us. Amen? Come on, some diseases skipped over you. Some places, some accidents went by you, and you was on the other side. Amen? Come on, remember that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Come on, and wreck our lives. So with Joseph, instead of getting even or judging or hurting them in return, because that was on his mind. There was a part of him saying, I got to do something with what these boys did to me, because he said it three times. Y'all sent me here. And I can tell you he wasn't gentle about it. He was the boss. So he had a different tone. Y'all did this to me. You did this to me. But I'm going to forgive you. Because I found my purpose here. Come on, everybody says forgiveness is a good idea or a lovely idea until they have to do it themselves. Come on, loving and overcoming is good until I got to do it myself. Come on, I can tell you what the Bible say until I got to do it myself. Come on, I can tell you, but can you show me better than you can tell me? Can you show me better than you can tell me? Come on. We have to understand if we are to put ourselves in the place of Joseph. Think about it for a minute. Who was almost killed and then sold into slavery by his brothers. On the place of those who hear about it in the news or whose lives have been touched by horrific acts of evil. Come on, you can't even explain it. Come on, people, children. We hear it on the news all the time. 11-year-old child gets shot. Now he can't walk. He's paralyzed. But yet, how can you forgive that one? Whew. It's hard to say. Come on, when your life has been turned upside down, and then you have an accuser or offender, can you forgive that one? Hard to say. Hard to say. Some days you wake up and you feel like you Superman, Superwoman, you can get through it. But the reality is we go through extremes in our emotions. Some manifested different than others, but we still go through. Come on, people always say women are more emotional than men. I say no, they not. Because we look at emotions wrong. Just because we ain't in the corner talking about thank you, women, for not saying amen. Don't mean we ain't emotional. Watch me when the Lakers playing. I'll show you some emotion. Or the Redskins playing. I'll show you some emotion, amen. You might not see it. You might not see it in church. Somebody say, I'm a Cowboy fan. Oh, that's all right. When the Cowboys play, then you show me some emotions. Especially when they lose. You show me some emotions. Come on. Men got more emotion than women. They are more emotional. You can test it. You can see it in life. It's because they ain't running and showing my mama in church. Take them to a game. Get them in their favorite bowling alley. They get real emotional then. Come on. It's just a matter of our perspective. Come on. Deal with something they like. And they want to do something. You'll see their emotions. Come on. Now you not be running around jumping, high-fiving, but you'll see some emotion. Come on. It's we have to understand the makeup of who we are. See, when we don't understand the makeup of who we are, we categorize ourselves any old kind of way. Not knowing who we are or what I am. Now, you emotional. Come on, I'd have had more emotional outbursts from the men that I'd be dealing with than women. Amen. Nobody want to admit it. That's all right, I'm going to say it because it's on my paper. Amen. Amen. Come on, if we put ourselves in the place of Joseph, being the offender or the offended one, how will we respond? See, sometimes that is the challenge. Not because we see and able to tell you how to respond, but what about when it's happening in real life with us? How will we respond? Come on, another well-known author, Richard Foster, he explains so well in his book, Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. Come on, that's where it is, finding the heart's true home. There's a great deal of confusion about what forgiveness is and what it is not. You know, forgiveness does not mean that we will cease to hurt.
That's right.
Don't mean that I'm still not going to be wounded just because I choose to forgive you. don't mean that I still don't have pain. Like Joseph showed us, he cried hard. And the people outside heard him and tried to figure out what's going on. He was crying so hard because it did not mean what happened to him did not hurt. And that's not where his forgiveness lays. Come on, our forgiveness is not in just because we said we forgive. It's still living past the hurt and dealing with the pain of our offense. Come on, we got to make sure that we do that and understand what forgiveness is and what it is not. Come on, forgiveness don't mean that we're not hurt or that we don't deal with pain. Don't mean that the wounds are not deep, that it's not a movie just playing in my head. This is what happened, and this is what they said, and this, I'm dealing with this, though. And I want to be happy, and I want to be joyful, but, man, I'm dealing with this. Come on, it means that we may hurt for a very long time sometimes. And he went through it for a long time. Just because we experience emotional pain does not mean we have failed to forgive. Don't mean you haven't failed to forgive. You're still forgiven so that you can be forgiven. But it still hurts. It still hurts. Come on. See, we should never mention the words forgive and forget in the same breath. Come on, remember, in forgiving, we no longer use the memory against others. You don't use it against them because you remember the pain or the hurt, but you've forgiven them, but yet you still remember the pain and the hurt. Come on, when couples deal with infidelity in the marriage and we deal with them and we say, well, do you still want to be with them? Because the first thing I got to understand is, where's your heart? If you say, I don't know, then you ain't ready to forgive them. You're not ready to forgive. Because if you're dealing with it and you still don't know, then every time something comes up, you still go back to that place. And even though it happened 20 years ago or maybe 20 minutes ago, oh, not 20, 2 hours ago, amen. You still what? I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this. So I tell them, I said, y'all got to make sure you're able to walk together again. Because if not, you're going to live in bondage. You're going to be in your jail cell, and they'll be in theirs. You said you wanted to do it, and you wanted to go forward, but you over there, and they over there. Because you haven't what? Really forgiven. You're just trying to get over it. You're just trying to get past it. You're just trying to make it. But the reality is, until you actually give it to God and ask for forgiveness, you're still in bondage. You're still shut down. And God's just trying to help us to make sure we can stay free. Come on, because who the Son of Man is set free, he wants to remain free indeed. Amen? That don't mean in and out. That don't mean every other day I'm thinking about it. And not only am I thinking about it, I'm telling you about it. You don't know how you was acting when you was with that girl. I thought that was dead. Nah, it's alive in me. You lucky to be alive. Cool. Yeah, I know the real conversations. If you don't, we'll tape it. Come on, it's a deep hurt. No matter what it is, it could be unforgiveness. It could be somebody lied or betrayed you, stood you up, messed you up, and you still what? Dealing with the thought of it. How am I going to deal past this? How am I going to get through this? I say I forgive them. I say it's going to be all right. I say we're okay. But still, how am I dealing with my emotions? Because some days I feel like we're going to make it, and other days I feel like, why you not packed already? You not packed? You still here? Come on, and when it gets to an extreme, that's where people go off the deep end. They want to be one thing, but the reality is I could not take the pain. I could not take the hurt. Come on. And they're in a different place. They're in a different place. See, we should never mention forgive and forget in the same breath. Because some pain don't go away immediately. Come on. When Joseph had his boys, he named them Ephraim and Manasseh. He said, Ephraim, because God has caused me to enlarge. Manasseh, because God has prospered me or made me to forget in this land. He said, I couldn't do it. That's in Genesis 50. He said, I couldn't do this. You did this in my life. And sometimes he had to go through all of that and deal with his life and move life. He still had his kids. He still had a life. He still had everything going on. But it took God to make him to forget, to help his memory. Sometimes we don't want to forget. Sometimes we don't want to put stuff behind us and press towards the mark. Come on, sometimes we don't want. We want to hold on to it. We want that chain tied to that garbage can. Come on here. I just got to keep you just in case I need to pop off in here. Keep you. Get over here. Sit up in the third row in the church. Hey. Got a good place for it. Come on. But in loving or forgiving, we no longer use the memory of what the person did against us. Because when you use that means you haven't forgiven them. You just stored it. You just put it in that special room with the plastic on the couch that nobody sits in. And when it was time to open it up to say, see, it's still there. No creases, no wrinkles, amen? Come on, we got to stop fooling ourselves. Come on, forgiving is allowing the person free. But if you keep bringing it up, you haven't forgiven them. Or if they cheated you, and every time you see them, they still ain't gave my 10. They still owe me 10. Not 3, not 5. They owe me 10. And you can't get it out of your mind. And every time you see them, hey, how you doing? You got my $10. That's why the church don't take people. They say, we're going to borrow the money from you. No, you ain't going to borrow nothing from me. I'm going to give it to you. So I ain't waking up the next day. Did they give that $10 back yet? That's just our human nature. It's just our human nature. That's why the church don't let people say, well I'm going to borrow $100 from you. You ain't borrowing nothing from me. You need $100? Let's go get it. Let's give you. Here's $100. You give it in the offering. Don't give it back to us. You don't owe us nothing but love. That's the way it should be. Because what happens when people don't do you right? Then you what? You holding it. You holding it. Oh, you done bought their air tickets and you done did something for them, or you done filled their car with gas, or you done did something for their life. And then next thing you know, what you going to do? Then it becomes what? Something else. And you're unforgiving and bitterness because, man, I needed that money. Got me here eating pork and beans. Look at you eating that Red Lobster. Talking about, hey! Hey! Got me here eating pork and beans. And Gwaltney hot dogs. They been the cheap kind. Not even the good kind of hot dog. The cheap kind. And here you are living right a hog on a hog. Driving up here in your best car. Hey. Let me talk. Let me keep preaching, y'all. Y'all say something. Come on. Forgiveness is not pretending, church. It's not pretending that the offense or the hurt did not happen. See, sometimes that's the quickest way to deal with it. Come on. When you did something, I did this. Let's deal with it. Let's talk about it. Because if we don't deal with it and talk about it, your mind is going to keep thinking. Yeah. Was she really pretty? What did she say to you? What did she do to you? How long you known her? How long she been around? You still got her number? Come on, if you don't deal with those thoughts and everything that's going on in your mind of the offense, then guess what? It's still going to be in there. And you're still going to be thinking about it. Well, where did you meet her? Well, what's happening here? Well, how many times did y'all do it? How many times? Oh, Lord. Then we got to go back to it. Because I couldn't even get over that. Couldn't get over that. Well, we got to make sure we don't allow stuff to keep us locked down. Because we messed up. Come on. But when we forgive, the offense of the behavior of the person no longer controls our behavior. See, when the offense still controls your behavior, then you ain't really forgiven. Come on. You ain't home yet? It's 9 o'clock. You got off at 6 o'clock. Ain't that many gas stations in Maryland. But where you going? It's still 2 o'clock. That mean what? Their behavior is now controlling your behavior. Come on, that's why people end up with trust issues. Because what somebody did to them don't allow me to trust the next person. Because of what you did, you now controlling my behavior. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. And why are you acting like that? And why you stop doing that? Why you stop? It's because I'm still thinking about that. And the reality is most people are not even honest enough to say, I'm still thinking about that. I'm still thinking about how you treated me, what you did, and it's really bothering me. And they just keep trying to put on their face like, hey, I'm all right, I'm all right. Till something comes up. And then what you did to me now controlling my behavior. Well, it's controlling me now. Come on. What then is offenses? Or what then is forgiveness? It is a miracle of grace whereby the offense no longer separates. That's the miracle. See, Joseph made it right in our text today. He went from, I call it, 0 to 100. From one extreme to the next extreme. See, not only was he able to get his heart right, his emotions right, he told them, go get your father. And look what he said, and go get your children. And get your children's children. I heard God speaking right to me. That's how he is. And he don't leave me afar off. He said, go get them. He said, and bring them here. Come on, you got to read the rest of that chapter, 45. He said, and you're going to stay here, and you're going to live in the land of Goshen. See, if you don't know what Goshen is a land of plenty. Remember, they was in a famine. And they was going through hard times in the country, in the regions around them, but not in the land of Goshen. It was the land flowing with milk and honey. He said, not only am I going to take y'all from where you are in desolation, I'm going to bring you in here to the land of milk and honey. Come on, that's what God wants to do in our lives. So not only did they get forgiven, but they got placed in the right place at the right time for God to bless their lives. Come on, Joseph went from 0 to 100. Come on, from being on the backside of his anger and frustration and disappointment and all of that to the place where now I want to bless you. Come on, he was living out the New Testament. Come on, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. He was living out a New Testament in an Old Testament way. Come on, God is just challenging us. Come on, stop living with these mixed emotions. If there are people in your life you need to forgive, forgive them. if there are people in your life that you feel that you got to let them, ask them to forgive you, ask them to forgive you. We have to do this. We have to make sure we are free so that God can keep us free in every area of our lives. Come on, it's a bondage when we got all of this weight of hurt and disappointment and all of these things we carry with us. It's that trash can again. And we don't want to smell nothing in it, but it's in there. It's in there. Come on, it is the miracle of grace. That's what forgiveness is. With the offense no longer separates us from God. Come on, I can't encourage you enough to remember that we see that Joseph and his brothers experienced true forgiveness. They experienced the miracle of grace whereby the offense no longer separated them from one another. Come on, they was there. See, forgiveness means that we no longer use the offense to drive a wedge in between us, hurting and injuring each other or others. It means we will not use the offense as a weapon against someone else. See, forgiveness means that the power of love that holds us together is greater than the power of the offense. That's when it's greater. Come on, it means that in forgiveness we are releasing our offenders so that they are no longer bound to us. It's the real sense that we are freeing them and we are receiving God's grace and they are receiving his freedom. Come on, how many of us today are nursing and holding on to hurts, anger, grudges? How many of us? I mean, and other things that's stinking up our life, fouling up our relationships. Even though Jesus said to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Come on, we do with the memories. What do? And emotions and relationships that will hurt us. What do we do with it? What do we do with the pain? The cleansing, forgiveness, and grace of Jesus can pull all of the bitterness that wants to take root in our heart. Come on, put out your spiritual and emotional trash. Give it to God. Let him get it out your life. Let him cut the strings. Come on, when we hang on to the garbage of unforgiveness, some of it is very painful. And the reality is it piles up. And it might be a molehill now, but you look around, it's a mountain because of how we feel about it. Come on, I just want to encourage us today to make sure we're allowing God to cleanse and free us through the power of Jesus. Amen? Come on, look at one scripture. We'll close right there. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Acts 10, 42, Apostle Paul speaking to us, and he says, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the... This is what verse 43 says. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus' name, whoever believes in him will receive. Come on, somebody say they will receive it. Remission of sins. All who believe in him. will receive remission or forgiveness of sins. Come on, we can't ever forget that. We can't ever forget that. Come on, we got to make sure that is in the forefront of our hearts and our minds, that in him there's forgiveness of sins. Come on, God has bound himself to forgive us when we forgive us. It's in his prayer. Come on, perhaps you have felt deeply the load of guilt at your offense against another or against heaven, against God himself. You may be unsure if God will truly forgive you of your sin and pardon you of the sin in your life. Holy Spirit can transform your life. Our assurance comes from the mouth of Jesus, and he guarantees, come on church, he guarantees our acquittal. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not, hear this, but if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Come on, we are obligated, church. But the choice is ours alone. It's ours alone. Come on, let's pray. As God forgave us, we ought to forgive others. When we're tired, come on, when we're prideful, when we're hypocritical in our lives, God still forgives us. Come on, my prayer is that God will help us see with our spiritual eyes and understand with a spiritual heart. Come on, that it's an obligation for us to remove the plank from our eye before we start trying to remove the speck out of somebody else's. We're going to do our part. It's easy to look at you. It's easy to tit for tat. It's easy to say, well, you did this and you did that. But many times there's a plank in our eye that God is still dealing with us about. Come on, where are we today? Where are we today? Come on, it affects every area of our lives. Come on, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's somebody you know, and you haven't helped them or given them the keys to get free from themselves. Still walking in unforgiveness. Still walking in resentment. Still walking in, well, they did this and they did that. God said, get free from that. Get free from that. Forgiveness is an amazing identity of God's grace. He does it for us, but will we do it for others? Will we do it for others? I'm always impressed by Joseph because he been through so much. Oh, I know we talk about Job, and God knows we see Jesus, and we see the disciples' plight of life and what they had to go through. But they endure hardship against themselves from sinners. Not from my brother. Not from the one that said they love me until death do we part. Not from them. Come on, I can take it if the world hurt me, if they go against me, but when somebody you love goes against you, there's no other kind of hurt like that. Because I thought we was thick and thin. Ride or die. Meet me there, beat me there. We was together. And then I found out that your heart was not near me. It's a hurting feeling. And I don't know where we've been hurt in life, and I don't know where there's maybe some unforgiveness, or there may be some standoffishness, or some place I don't want to get closer. I don't want to deal with people anymore type mentalities. But whatever it is, I believe God is here this morning to break down those walls so people are still free to come in and out of your life. To find you where you are. and that there's a sign, maybe not visible, but in your spirit that says, if you break me, just tell me so I can forgive you. Oh God, so I can forgive you. So as we close today, that is my challenge to us, church. It's one thing to say who we are and to be boisterous about what we think we are and to say that we know this and know that. But I can tell you it's a whole nother thing when you got to live it out. When you got to take one step at a time and you got to get up day after day and still overcome those offenses and give forgiveness, the grace, the unmerited favor that maybe they don't deserve, that God has done for us.